Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Now this morning, I believe the Lord wants to talk to us about wisdom. God's wisdom. In the book of Revelation, when the Lamb is being worshipped, one of the things that is said of him that he is worthy to receive all wisdom. And if we are in Christ, we are able to receive from him and through him what he is worthy to receive. So the impartation of wisdom has been important in the whole history of God's involvement with man, relationship with man, in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. There are several books in the Old Testament that are known as the wisdom literature. And foremost among those is the book of Proverbs. Now, we'll see in a moment what the scripture says that wisdom is, but we need to understand why it is important to let God impart wisdom to us. At the beginning of the book of Proverbs, we read that these proverbs are given for attaining wisdom and discipline. Now, those two things seem to go together. For understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. And then it really says, well, the starting point of wisdom is to know the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. Now, what we have to understand, first of all, then, is that God expresses his wisdom in everything that he says and does. Because he is wisdom. And he wants us, therefore, to take his word seriously. Not simply by believing it, but by doing it. So Jesus, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, talks about the wise man and the foolish man. The wise man built his house on rock, the foolish man on sand, shifting sand. What was the difference between the two? Because both the wise and the foolish heard the word. The wise man put it into practice, the foolish man didn't. I was talking to the church pastoral group last night, and one of the things that I was saying is that, you know, as I preached a message, I think, sort of back October time in the church, that it's one thing to know the gospel, it's another thing to apply the gospel. And evangelical Christians, charismatic Pentecostal believers, will know the word, but that doesn't necessarily mean they will apply the word. But you see, if you simply know the word and don't apply it, you're still in foolishness. According to Jesus, that you move out of foolishness to wisdom when you put the word into operation. So the believer who judges others is walking in foolishness. Why? Because he is placing himself back under judgment. Because Jesus says that you will be judged with the same judgment with which you judge others. So that's foolishness to disregard what Jesus says about judgment, even though you may know what he says about judgment. And it's foolishness not to forgive someone if they've hurt you, grieved you, done something to offend you. To take offense is a grievous sin. Why? Because there is no forgiveness, there's no mercy in it. That's foolishness. It's going against the wisdom of God. It's so foolish that Jesus says, if you do not forgive others, you're out of relationship with God yourself. That's serious, because he says God won't forgive your sins. And if God doesn't forgive your sins, then you're out of relationship with him. It doesn't mean that he's taken his Holy Spirit from him, but you're not walking in relationship with him, you see. That's foolishness. Foolishness to have Christ in you and not be living in relationship with him. And this is really what Jesus was getting at when he said, you will remain in my love if you obey my commandments, just as I remain in the Father's love by obeying his commandments. You see, that's wise. It's wisdom to obey. It's foolishness not to obey. Are we getting this? So we could say it's wise to submit to the Lord because he is Lord. But it's foolishness not to. Fancy knowing he's Lord and yet not being in submission to him. But you see, if we go against his word, we're not in submission to him. And this is what Jesus was getting at when he said, why do you call me Lord, yet do not do what I say? See, that's like Jesus saying, look, it's a complete nonsense to say that I'm your Lord, but then you don't put my word into practice. And so he made clear, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So he reveals himself to us as our Lord so that we will obey him, so that we will be submitted to his lordship, so we will be submitted to his authority and outwork that submission by obedience to his word and therefore to his will. Are we getting this? Now, this is wisdom. There is a wise way to live and a foolish way to live. But you see, what the scripture is talking about is not the foolish of the damned, but the foolish of the redeemed. You can still be redeemed and walk in foolishness. Hello? So, of course, the famous passage which we're going to turn to now is in James chapter 3. Where there's this description of what he calls the wisdom that comes from above, the wisdom that comes from God. Now, this is the wisdom that he gives, it's the wisdom that he imparts, it's the wisdom that he speaks, it's the wisdom, therefore, that we are to receive and the wisdom that we are to see expressed in our lives. Do we have any believers this morning? Okay. Right, now, it comes on the back of him talking about the use of the tongue. But we'll come back to that later, because there is a wise and foolish use of the tongue. Yes? And Jesus says, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what a person says gives away the disposition of the heart. Now, let's see what the scripture says about The wise. Who is wise and understanding among you? You notice how the two things, wisdom and understanding, went together in what we just read from Proverbs. And later on, it says, get understanding, even if it costs you everything you have, get understanding. Why? Because understanding is the work of the soul. That's where you use your intellect, your reasoning, your ability to think. But the wisdom is the revelation that comes from God. So our reasoning is not to go against the wisdom from God so that we think we know better than God. But our reasoning powers are given us to take the wisdom that God gives us, to translate that wisdom into action. So in other words, when God gives us wisdom, we need understanding to know how that is to be expressed in our lives, both in what we say and what we do. Am I making this clear? Okay, so who is the wise and understanding among you? You see, you're not a wise person if you don't have understanding. If you don't build your house on rock and put the word into practice, and you put the word into practice because you have understanding. One of the things that I suppose I've been so concerned about in the last year or so is how little perception some Christians have. Very little understanding of spiritual things. That they try to live the gospel by reason, not by spiritual understanding of the wisdom that is given by God. Now, if you try to do that, you're going to get yourself in trouble. You're going to become a prime target for deception, actually. Now, let's see what this wisdom is all about. You see, verse 13 continues, let him show it, let him show this wisdom and understanding by his good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. Now, in other words, if you have wisdom and understanding, you see, you are going to be like the one on the rock. You are going to do the word and not be a hearer only. Are you breathing? Yeah. Now then, you do this, James is saying here, in the humility that comes from wisdom. So that's the first thing that we've got to understand. That the wise person puts the word into practice because he humbles himself before God. Therefore, before his word. He's not going to grieve the Lord by doing his own thing, going in his own way with his own understanding, but he humbles himself by submitting himself to the authority of God and therefore to what he says. You can't be submitted to the authority of someone if you're not submitted to what they say. And we can't be submitted to the authority of Jesus if we're not submitted to what he says. You see, who's submitted to the army officer? Well, the troops who obey him. If they don't obey him, then, or even though the officer has authority, they're not submitted to him. It's the same in any walk of life. Who's submitted to the master or the mistress, the teacher in school? The pupils who obey. Those who disobey are not in submission. So they become troublemakers. Hello? It's just a very ordinary principle, but you know, those principles operate spiritually within the church, within the body of Christ. So the wise person is a humble person because he is a submitted person. submitted to God, submitted to His Word, submitted to the Spirit, submitted to authority wherever God has placed it. What's the opposite of humility? Pride. You see, the foolish man that built his house on sand was actually guilty of pride. He thought he could listen to what God said, but not do it. Now that's pride. Are you breathing? Okay. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such, he's being ironic here, so-called wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. That's pretty clear thinking, isn't it? So what is of the devil? Devil. Bitter envy. Selfish ambition, boasting, denying the truth. And, you know, you can come across people that do all those things and think they're wise because they know the gospel. But they're not living in the revelation of the truth. So where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. What's he talking about? He's talking about people raising themselves up to a position that God has never given them. Hello? You see, we can easily desire that. People can easily desire that. But God has never given them that authority. And you see, spiritual perception goes along with what God has given you. Are you there? You see, I wouldn't expect everybody to have the discernment that I need as someone whom God has raised up as an apostle. Now, that's not a statement of pride. It's just that if people had that kind of discernment, they would be apostles. This is just recognizing the differences, you see, that exist within the body. Now, that doesn't make the apostle proud because he has a discernment that others don't have, because he's had to go through a whole series of stages where God has raised him up and given him that discernment, given him that revelation, that spiritual understanding. But you see, what the scripture says is we should therefore receive from that understanding, not go against it, or not listen to it. And you see, I was explaining last night at the group that there's a very subtle thing that goes on in some Christians, which is foolishness, it's not wisdom. And that is, they will believe what you say when they agree with what you say. But if they don't agree with what you say, they disagree. In other words, they are always right. You see, when you have that attitude, what you're saying, I'm always right. And you are right when you agree with me. But I'm not going to listen if you don't agree with me, because I'm always right. Are you getting this? What can you do without? You see, that's self-righteousness, which is as filthy rags in the sight of God. So we've got to listen to those with greater spiritual understanding and discernment than ourselves, which is what you guys do every Tuesday morning when we have the keynote. See? But all of us are listening to the wisdom and discernment of the Holy Spirit. Because the responsibility of the apostle or any preacher, the pastor, the evangelist, is to bring the revelation of the truth, is to bring the revelation of the word, not his own wisdom, but God's wisdom. But it's not wise to think you know better. When you haven't been where the person is whom God is using to bring the revelation. Can you understand what I'm saying here? Now, see, this was a constant frustration to Paul. You look carefully at what Paul says in his letters. And I mean, look at the call of God on Paul's life. Look what he did with Paul. I mean, he was responsible really for spreading the gospel among the Gentile nations. That's what God raised him up to do. And yet it was a constant frustration that when he wasn't around, all kinds of upstarts thought they knew better than he did. And so he says, you know, what am I going to do when I come amongst you? Am I going to come among you gently or with a sword? No, he didn't say a sword, with a whip. That's actually what he said. Am I going to come in a spirit of gentleness or am I going to come with a whip? Now you see, Jesus did that. He came with a spirit of gentleness, but he also came with a whip, which he used in the temple courts. But his tongue could be a whip to the Pharisees, to those who opposed the revelation of wisdom that he was bringing from above. Are we all still alive? Yes? You're sitting there very quietly. So, when we start to go against wisdom, what the scripture says is we open up ourselves to disorder and every kind of evil practice. That's dangerous. So it's dangerous to say, I disagree. Why? Because you're opening yourself up to disorder and every kind of evil practice. Whew, 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 whew. Heavy, eh? But, is the first word of verse 17, in contrast to this, there is the wisdom that comes from above. Now, Jesus is the wisdom that came from above. And the Spirit of God who lives within us is the Spirit of wisdom. So if we're attentive to the Spirit, we are not going to get into disorder and every kind of evil practice. We are going to listen, we're going to be attentive, because Jesus says that the role of the Holy Spirit is to take the Word of God and declare it to us, to remind us of the truth, to remind us of everything that Jesus has said. So in other words, Jesus is wisdom, the Holy Spirit is wisdom, and he wants us to keep focused on that wisdom, to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Okay, now, what is the nature of this wisdom that is therefore to be reproduced in us? I mean, why does the Spirit of wisdom live in you? To reproduce the qualities of that wisdom in your life. So the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. Why does all wisdom belong to the Lamb as he is worshipped in heaven? Because he came and lived the life of purity and offered his life as a pure, holy, spotless sacrifice, which has made possible our salvation. So what God has done, knowing that there's nothing good in our flesh, in our natural life, there's no purity in your flesh, because Jesus says there's nothing good in your flesh, in your self-life. There's nothing good about you in your self-life. I'm sorry about that, but it's true for me and it's true for you. There's nothing good in God's eyes. There's nothing good about our self-life. Nothing good. I mean, he means nothing. When he says nothing, he means nothing. There's nothing good about you. But what is good is Christ in you. What is good is the Spirit that is in you. What is good is the new life that he has imparted to you. So if you depend upon yourself, you depend upon that in which there is nothing good. If you depend upon the Spirit, then you're depending on that which is good. Which is what the Great Revelation, the book, is all about. How to depend upon Christ in you and not upon yourself. Did someone say amen? The wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. So how is God going to reproduce that purity in us? Well, where did that purity come from in Jesus? First of all, he had a pure heart. But then, when we were born again, God gave us pure hearts. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. That's the promise, isn't it? Of the new covenant. So God gave you a pure heart. But that pure heart does not necessarily stay pure. Because Paul says in 2 Corinthians 7, let us cleanse ourselves of everything that contaminates our spirits and bodies. So you see, the heart can become contaminated. Just because you were given a new heart doesn't mean that your heart is always right. As we see when we get on to the what we say, because Jesus says what we say comes from the heart. We're expressing what is in the heart. So when people who have been given new hearts start to say things that are in disagreement with God's word, we know that's foolishness and it comes from an impure heart, not a pure heart. Right. Why? Because that person has been focusing on their opinions, what they think, what they believe, rather than on what God says. I know what I'm talking about. Anybody else with me? Okay. So, this wisdom is, first of all, pure. So, God has given us purity. Now, it's very, very important in this whole walk of faith to believe what he has given us. You see, for example, we are one. We have a unity in Christ. The scripture is very clear about this. God has answered that prayer of Jesus, Father, may they be one. But things can come in to disunite. It isn't that we're fighting to get a unity. Right. What we want is to repent of everything that causes disunity so we can express the unity that we already have in Christ. The unity that we already have with one another. You see, when a person becomes foolish, they bring division. That's what we've just said, seen in the previous verse, isn't it? Yeah. They start to divide instead of unite. Why? Because they bring disorder in every kind of evil practice. Mm-hmm. Now, how this purity is going to be manifested in our lives, reflected in our lives, is going to be exactly the same as in Jesus. First of all, we need our hearts to be purified, hence our need of the blood, our constant need of the blood. So our hearts are kept pure before God. remembering that the heart is deceitful above all things. So very easy to become deceived in your heart if you're not actively pursuing that purity of heart, to maintain that purity of heart. How is that purity of heart expressed? Obedience to God's word. Where there is disobedience to his word, there is an impurity of heart. This isn't difficult to understand, is it? So, you know, when those of you that have been through the direct counseling course, you'll remember that one of the things I was teaching all the time is Jesus always gets to the heart. He doesn't talk about the issues, he gets to the heart. Because if the heart is right, the issues will get sorted out. But you'll never sort the issues out in people's lives if their hearts are not right. So we need pure hearts. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. God will reveal himself to the pure in heart. Literally, they will see him in vision in all kinds of ways. They will see God at work. Whereas the impure of heart can't see. They can't see God. They can't actually see the truth. Because their heart, something's wrong with the heart. Are we getting this?
Yeah.
Now, Jesus maintained his purity of heart through his obedience. So how will we walk in a purity of heart? By obedience. Obedience to the Lord demonstrates a purity of heart. Disobedience demonstrates an impurity of heart. Come on, this isn't difficult to understand, is it? I mean, it's very, very simple, basic stuff. So if the heart is right, then the actions will be right, and the words will be right, and the relationships will be right. Everything will be right. And if they're right, then they'll be pure. So all the things that people get up to that are a contradiction of God's word, they're sin, of course, but they are actually impurity. Sin is impurity. It's also foolishness in Scripture, but it's impurity. It comes from an impure heart. Then this wisdom is peace-loving. Now, we've got to get a biblical understanding of what that means. Peace-loving isn't suppressing your problems. Peace-loving is not avoiding the issues. Peace-loving means that you love, you are dedicated to being at peace with God and therefore at peace with others. And the peacemakers that are blessed are those that are involved in that activity of helping people to be right with God. Now, to be right with God means that people have to face issues, sometimes uncomfortable issues. And what they have to face is the ways in which they are not truly submitted to the authority of God. If they were, they wouldn't be disobedient. The problems, issues, whatever, that they're tackling would not have arisen. Now, it's not just it's advantageous to be at peace with God and with others. Wisdom is peace-loving. Now, if you love peace, you don't want to do anything at all that is going to disrupt your relationship with God. Now, you see, what's the starting point? The starting point is you have a pure heart. Right, if there's impurity come in, get the blood working, get the impurity out, so that you can walk with the pure heart that God gave you as part of the new creation. Right? Now, you have peace with God. The punishment that brought us peace was laid upon Him. So if you're not at peace, repent and get back to peace. Because peace is part of this impartation that God has given us. So when Jesus came and stood among the disciples in His risen body, the first thing He said was, peace be with you. May the impartation of peace be with you. It's not just a greeting, but may there be an impartation of peace into your life. Why? Because they were frightened. They were scared. They thought they'd be the next ones to be arrested and crucified. So Jesus comes and imparts that peace to bring them back to the place of peace. Hello? So shalom is a good thing to say, not just as a greeting, but, you know, may there be an impartation of peace into your life. Of God's peace. Then wisdom is considerate. Now, when you're considerate, you are caring for and concerned about other people rather than yourself. Are we there? And you also, and now this, you see, wisdom is considerate. This is what the scriptures say. What you realize, therefore, is that your actions are going to have a knock-on effect upon other people. Now, a little leaven can affect the whole lump. And that's talked of in a negative sense. A little bit of negativity in the body can affect the whole lump. So what have you got to do? You've got to get the negativity out. You've actually got to get the source of negativity out somehow. Because otherwise the whole lump can be affected. You know, in recent months, every now and again, three times in a sense, we've had to address certain issues in the church here because those issues could affect the whole lump. Now, some people haven't even known what we're talking about, really. To what are you referring? But what they need, what everybody needs to do is to be on the alert. Well, if there's something negative that's going on, I'm not going to be a party to it. I'm not going to take any notice. I'm not going to get sucked in because I've been warned by the leadership there is some negative leaven that the enemy wants to use to affect the whole lump. And that's the very thing the enemy wants to do to try to prevent the purposes of God being fulfilled. So I'm not having anything to do with that negative leaven. Are we there? Why? Because, you see, wisdom makes you understand that what goes on in your life is going to have a repercussive effect, can affect the whole body. And this is where people don't understand spiritual realities. They just don't understand spiritual realities. That if there is negativity there, it is spiritually going to affect the whole body. Just because it's there. And every time it gets expressed, it's going to have a negative effect upon the body. So somebody might be in their home right away from everybody else. They have a conversation with another believer that is critical. What they have just done in that conversation has affected the whole body. Now, they might say, no, 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 this is just a little conversation between two of us. No, they've affected the whole body. That is a spiritual reality. Why? Because the negativity is in the body. If it's in a member of the body, it's in the body. You see, if suppose you have disease, let's say a person has a cancer. You don't go around saying that person has a cancer in a part of their body. You say that person has cancer. Why? Because it may be in just one part of the body, but actually it's affecting the whole body. So the treatment that that person has to go through is going to affect the whole body. Just to put that one wrong part of the body right.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah. That's it.
Now you see, the same thing happens spiritually. And people just think, oh, this is an innocent conversation. No, I don't agree with this. I don't agree. The leadership doesn't do this. Whatever it is. And they've affected the whole body. They have actually affected the purpose of God being outworked in the church. But they don't understand that. They don't perceive that. Why? Because they don't have spiritual perception. Or such spiritual perception. Are you breathing? So they are not being considerate. They're just full of their own opinions, their ideas, what they think, bum, 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 bum. And there's no consideration for the body. There's no consideration for the purposes of God being outworked in the body. Because God can never outwork his purpose through criticism, through judgment, through negativity, but only through wisdom. Through the whole body acting in wisdom. Therefore, look at the next word. Wisdom is submissive. It is wise to submit, obviously to the Lord, to his word, to the Spirit, but because we're in a corporate context together in the body of Christ, it's wise to be submissive to those who are in leadership in the body. Why? Because that lack of submission is going to affect the whole body. When I was preaching a couple of weeks ago, God's concept of the family. We were seeing how the enemy always wants to bring disruption, division, and how we looked, didn't we, at Aaron and Miriam opposing Moses, and how when Miriam got leprosy. Right? That was God's judgment upon her lack of submission to Moses. But she had to be put outside the camp. And the whole nation could not move on in the purposes of God for a whole week because of her disobedience, her rebellion. So even though God sort of judged her for her lack of submission to Moses, the whole body suffered as a result of her disobedience. You see, this is where we've got to have a much greater sense and understanding of the spiritual realities of the body of Christ. We are members one of another. If one suffers, all suffer. If one rejoices, all rejoice. See, this is the way the scripture looks at the body. That whatever is happening in one affects the whole. So we have a responsibility to be considerate because our actions, our words, our attitudes are going to affect the whole body. But we also, therefore, have a responsibility to be submissive, because if we're not, well, we're in rebellion, actually. And that is going to affect the whole body. So here, because of the actions of a few, we've had to address situations with the whole body. And our prayer, those of us who've known what's been going on, is that the whole body will not be affected more than is, I say, necessary. I mean, we don't want it to be affected at all. But at this moment, it's a damage limitation. We don't want people to be damaged, see, by the negativity of a few. Are you there?
Yes.
Because those negative things can so easily spread. They shouldn't, because people shouldn't listen. If their hearts were right, they wouldn't listen. But you see, if somebody is getting up to stuff they shouldn't because their heart's not right, what's going to happen? That's going to affect anybody else around whose heart is not right.
That's it. Absolutely.
That's how the enemy works. And that's how the enemy gets in and causes division. I mean, that happens in one church after another. But it isn't going to happen here. It cannot happen here because of the words of promise that God has spoken over this church, words that are going to be fulfilled, and nobody's going to stop them. But we want everybody that's borne the burden of the heat of the day to come and inherit with us. We don't want people to be divided and separated because of negativity. So it's important that we are submissive. Now, you see, why should some people get upset if you talk about spiritual authority, for example? Well, who is going to get upset? Who's going to get upset? Only those that aren't submitted.
That's it. Absolutely.
If a person's submitted, it's no problem.
Right.
But if a person isn't submitted, oh, there he goes again.
Right. Come on.
Or whatever.
It's good.
It's like, you know, if you wouldn't have done this as much as me, but in years past when I was moving right among all the churches, and you were preaching the gospel to a lot of people that had been in church all their lives but had never really heard the gospel, didn't know Jesus personally, see? And in such situations like that, you only have to talk about being born again, and you get a really violent reaction.
Right.
But who from? Only those who are not born again. It's no problem to somebody that's born again.
Absolutely. That's right.
But you talk to a church-going person and say, are you born again? And they're not. What do you mean, am I born again? You know, there's this reaction. But if a person's born again, they say, yes, praise God, I'm born again. Thank God for His mercy, His love.
That's absolutely right.
You see, where is the negative reaction? Where the word has actually hit home and has exposed something that is not right in the heart. By their fruit you will know them. See? By their works, by what you do. So, then wisdom is full of mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now, the great thing is that we all need mercy. And we've all tasted of the Lord's mercy. Therefore, if we really are wise and believe what Jesus says about mercy and the parable of the unmerciful servant, we would never dare to withhold mercy from anyone. Now, how can you be merciful and judge someone? How can you be merciful and condemn someone? Because actually it's the mercy of God that has saved us from judgment and condemnation. So you see, when you're in leadership, often you have to confront people with things that are wrong, but you never do it in judgment. You do it because you're encouraging them to repent. You're encouraging them to recognize their sin and to turn away from that sin and get reconciled with God and with others.
Right.
What you're doing is you're reaching out to them with the mercy of God. But people feel hurt and even offended when the sin in their lives is confronted and they don't repent. They then got to somehow justify themselves for not having repented. So, I'm hurt, I'm offended.
It's true.
Hello? Whereas wisdom is considerate, it's submissive, and it's full of mercy. So, the wise person, when he's confronted by God, through his word or by the leadership or whatever, he will respond to the word. He will repent. He will get right with God. He will get right with others, because that's the wise thing to do. Hello?
Yes.
Why is that? Because God is a father who disciplines those he loves. And what did we just read in Proverbs? That wisdom and discipline go together. You see, the wise parent will discipline the child. Because if you don't, you'll end up with a spoiled brat. And the father disciplines in love, because we would be illegitimate children if he didn't discipline us. So the scripture encourages us to welcome that discipline, welcome that correction, not resent it and push it away and say, oh no, it's got nothing to do with me. So it's full of mercy and good fruit. Now, where does the fruit come from in a person's life? From what he does, what he says and what he does, primarily by what he does, right? That's the fruit. But then what he does is going to come out of the purity of heart or the impurity of heart. So, what does he do? Does he walk in purity? Is he peace-loving? Is he considerate? Is he submissive? Is he full of mercy? Because if he is, then the fruit will be good. But if someone is full of disobedience, lack of submission, whatever it may be, you know, doing their own thing, causing division and upset, the fruit will be bad. Why? Because he is not being wise but foolish. So it's foolish to judge, it's foolish not to forgive, it's foolish to criticize, it's foolish. All those things are foolishness, because they will produce bad fruit. Wisdom is also impartial. It's true for all of us, but it's especially true when you're in leadership. That what the scripture says is that you must treat everybody equally. Now, that doesn't mean treat them in the same way, because obviously, sometimes you're encouraging, sometimes you're disciplining, sometimes you're doing all kinds of different things. But you don't have favorites. Favoritism is not of the Holy Spirit. And that's something that's very, very important in leadership, because all of us, naturally, from the soulish level, prefer some people to others, find some people easier to get on with than others. There is a rapport with some that we don't have with others. And it's very easy, therefore, to focus on those where there's a good rapport and you... And that's what people do in their friendships, isn't it? You gravitate towards those that you empathize with in some way. Mm-hmm. But when you're in leadership, you can't afford to do that, because you've got to have a care for the whole body. And actually, that's true not only of leadership, but true for all of us, because we've got to be reaching out to the unlovely. And those that feel they're unwanted, and those whose lives are in a mess, we're reaching out to those that it's going to be costly to reach out to. Whereas it's much more comfortable to surround yourself with people that you like, and that love you, and affirm you, and encourage you. Mm-hmm. But we've got to be impartial. Wisdom is impartial. Why? Because the truth is the same for all of us. Now, there's two ways in which you can regard that. It's good that the truth is the same, the inheritance is the same, whatever we can lay hold of as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ is the same for all of us. But then so is the word the same for all of us. And you can't make excuses and exceptions for people. Hello? Now, people make excuses for themselves. Oh, well, it wasn't my fault, says Eve. It was the serpent. Oh, it wasn't my fault, said Adam. It was the woman. You see, when people are in the wrong, they never want to admit it was my fault, I was in the wrong. They always want to make excuse, nearly always want to make excuse. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, you see, it was these circumstances. Oh, well, you see, you must understand what this person did to me. Oh, well, you must understand that I had such a bad childhood. So much rejection. You get this all the time on the media, you know, somebody's up for some crime or another, and what are they doing? They're looking into their background and the terrible background that they had, and they're trying to make excuses. But there are, for every one that's up there in court, there are probably 1,000 that have a similar background and worse, but are not in crime. Why? Because you can't absolve yourself from personal responsibility.
That's true.
You know, all this knife crime. It's only a relatively small number of people that actually are violent in that way. But they are in the midst of people that all have very similar backgrounds and upbringings and social problems. And I know that because the church where I was in Luton, you see, was the sink estate at the time. The council had this wonderful idea of putting all the social problems on one estate. And then they built another estate, a new one after our estate, and they started to make that the sink estate because ours was getting cleaned up. But you see, you can do this. I mean, because I was in and out of homes all the time. When you're in that kind of ministry, or you're in people's homes all the time. And it was amazing the differences in the homes, even though the social background and the kind of problems people were facing and the marital difficulties and all the other stuff that goes on was there. But how people cope with those things was very different. That's a little by the way, really, but you see, the point is that we've got to be impartial in the way in which we deal with things and not allow people to excuse themselves. You've heard me say before, Jesus died for our sins, not our excuses.
Right.
Yeah. And while you're excusing yourself, there's no forgiveness. You have only repented when you realize I didn't have any excuses. I did it. I was wrong. I need forgiveness. That's repentance. When a person repents, they have to say, I was wrong. Not I did wrong. I was wrong. I was wrong in doing that. It's not the sin that's wrong. It's the sinner. Or, you know, the person has sinned, so the person needs to be put right. Are you with me? Okay, then we must I haven't finished here. The wisdom is sincere. Oh. One of the most difficult things you have to cope with is hypocrisy. Do you notice how Jesus hated hypocrisy? He hated it. And he said to the Pharisees, woe to you, Pharisees. Now, that means you are cursed, you Pharisees, you hypocrites. Because Jesus is the truth, he loves the truth. And hypocrisy is appearing to be true and right when you're not. God hates that. So he hates it when people say, oh, it wasn't my fault, I'm all right. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us because we're being hypocritical. Hello? So, you see, it's back to the heart. If the heart is right, there won't be any hypocrisy. What is hypocrisy? It's appearing to be right when you're not. You know, putting on a performance, like this religious performance that the Pharisees and teachers of the law put on. You must understand this about these Pharisees. They genuinely thought they were the most holy people on the face of the earth. They genuinely believed that. They genuinely thought, well, there's no God like our God. We are the chosen people, and we Pharisees are the chosen of the chosen.
Yeah, yeah.
So we are the most righteous people on the face of the earth. They really believe that.
Right.
And Jesus said, well, you try to appear like that on the outside, but I can see what's in your heart. You're full of corruption. Dead men's bones. Lovely description. Eh? So, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Now, this is it, you see. When you walk in wisdom, you create a harvest of righteousness. Now. Let's just take one step back before we finish and look at the purposes of God for Kingdom Faith at this time. Not just for Kingdom Faith, but I mean, that's what we're primarily concerned about, obviously. God has said, this is harvest time. We're entering a season of harvest. Now, we need to see much more evidence of that than we see so far, right? But this is his word to us, that we're entering a season of harvest. Harvest of what? Of righteousness. So what does the enemy want to do? He wants to sow unrighteousness. He wants to sow what isn't right. Why? Because if there's unrighteousness, you can't reap a harvest of righteousness. So why is God bringing us this word about wisdom this morning? Because his purpose is for us to reap a harvest of righteousness. Right. So we have to walk in wisdom. We and the whole body. Therefore, we have to say no to all foolishness in our lives personally, not allow any foolishness in the body, because the one affects the other. So, you see, Jesus says there is no greater love than this, that a man lays down his life for his friends. What is the state of mind that undermines people walking in wisdom? They get all concerned about themselves, not the body. Therefore, not the Lord. They're not really concerned about the purposes of God, but only their own personal whatever. That spells danger for them, and actually for the body if it isn't addressed. Right. So praise God, we are moving ahead in his purposes. See? And why did he appear to me as a mighty warrior back in September time? Because he knew we were going to have to go through opposition. And he would go before us, amen, as the mighty warrior. And he would keep me and stroke all of us under his protection. Remember, he sort of held me close to himself. So it doesn't matter, you know, it was like God saying, well, it doesn't matter what you come up against, you're under my protection, and I'm the mighty warrior. I'm going ahead of you. I'm going to clear the way in order that my harvest of righteousness will be reaped. And I'm up for that. Anybody else? Let's stand up and praise the Lord then. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, I thank you for your wisdom. Thank you that your spirit is the spirit of wisdom. Hallelujah. Thank you that you have imparted that spirit of wisdom to us. Hallelujah. It says of Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Now thank him that that Spirit of wisdom is upon you, that the Spirit of understanding is upon you, that the Spirit of counsel and of power is upon you, that the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord is upon you. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Putapara zataparia leto bakara zituri sanduma. Brutaparia zituri sarato bakara zituri sanduma. Brustakaria zituri satoria leto bakara zituri sanduma. Umbarazataria leto bakara zituba. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that spirit of wisdom. Thank you for that spirit of understanding. Thank you for that spirit of counsel, of the knowledge of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that spirit of the fear of the Lord. Oh, I praise you, Jesus. I bless you. Now thank you, Lord, that you gave to each one of us a pure heart. And Lord, if we've allowed any impurity to come into our heart, I pray that you will show us that impurity so that we can claim the cleansing of your blood and all those impurities be washed away. So we pray, Lord, that there will be no negativity in our hearts. Hallelujah. None of those things that in your word are foolishness. Praise you, Lord. No foolishness. And thank you that as you purify our hearts, so we're going to see God. We're going to see you, Lord. We're going to see you at work. We're going to know you're working in our own lives. We're going to see you at work around us. And we're going to see you working through us. Oh, and we praise you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we want to love peace, to love being at peace with you, to stay obedient, to stay consistent. We want to be in that place of consideration for the whole body. Lord, help us not to live in a selfish mindset where we're just concerned about ourselves and our relationship and our ministries and our walk with you. Help us to have that understanding of the social consequences of sin, but also of the social consequences of righteousness. That as we walk in right ways with you, so we are sowing peace and we're sowing love and we're sowing everything that is good all around us in the body. Lord, let us have a greater revelation of what it means to lay down our lives for our friends. And Lord, we want to be submissive to you, submissive to your word, submitted to your spirit, submitted to your authority, submitted to those where you have placed authority. We don't only want to be submissive when it suits us. Just deliver us from that deception of only being submitted when people agree with us. Just break us, Lord, of that pride that thinks we're always right. That we may submit ourselves to your word, submit ourselves to your discipline, submit ourselves to your correction. Lord, may we always be full of mercy. And Lord, we know if we're full of mercy, we can't judge, we can't condemn, we can't criticize. We're going to be full of mercy. We want to bear good fruit because we know only good fruit gives glory to the Father. And we want to bear much good fruit, fruit that lasts, fruit of an eternal quality because it's the fruit of your Spirit working in and through us. Lord, we want to be impartial. We want to treat everybody as we should in love, with mercy, with grace. We want to be sincere, Lord. We don't want to be hypocritical. We don't want to put on a front. We don't want to put on a performance. But we want those pure hearts that are sincere hearts. And we want to raise a harvest of righteousness. Now, Lord, you say all these things to us in your word on the back of warning us about the use of the tongue. So we pray right now that we will be wise in the things we say. That we will not speak foolishness about ourselves, about others, about Kingdom Faith, about your purposes, but we will be wise. Wise in all the things we say. And therefore, Lord, we pray that we will speak faith over every situation. We realize that it's wise to speak faith. And foolishness to speak unbelief. Foolishness to speak that which is not of faith. So, Lord, we speak your word over our lives this morning. We speak your word over the life of Kingdom Faith. We speak your word over Horsham. We speak your word over the 25-mile radius. We speak your word over this nation. All the promises that you've given us by your Spirit, Lord, we shall see fulfilled, and no negative strategy of the enemy will prevent that in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Lord. We bless you. We give you all the glory, all the honor. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Soturi satari elero bakarasitoba. Brasta kari ezetori satu bakarasitoba rundama. Brosta pari ezituri santori eletu bakarasituri sanduma. Wonderful Lord, wonderful Savior. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sata barazato bakarasitoba. Thank you that you always lead us in your triumphant procession. And thank you that your triumphant procession is a procession of wisdom. It's a procession of faith. It's a procession of righteousness. It's a procession of purity. It's a procession of everything that is good and wholesome. And thank you, Lord, that you lead us in that procession. And we're so glad to be following you, Lord. And we bless your wonderful name. We praise your wonderful name. Glory and honor, dominion and power belong to you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Potapara zatabari eletu bakarazitoba.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.